All right, we're Romans 4, and we're into the verses 9 through 12 analysis. Point 30 on page 8 of your notes. This covenant with Abraham is a critical part of Bible doctrine and the understanding of it. The call of Abraham, God takes the line of Christ on a new path, so to speak. All the males in the line of Christ up till Abraham were Gentiles. Then it switches over to males, specific males, firstborn male in the father-son relationship. It took some interesting twists and turns along the way, but it maintained that. The first three generations of the Jewish history involved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These three individuals, and their story is found in Genesis. Their history, their times, and their spiritual development. Abraham had one son. Isaac had two. One was rejected because he remained an unbeliever. The oldest of the twins, Esau, he's rejected because he rejects God. So he's an unbeliever. So it goes to Jacob. See, he came out of his mother's womb first. He should have had the rights of primogeniture and firstborn, but he blew it. He had a different path. He wanted to live his life, even though he was raised in a quote-unquote home of believers and knew about all these things. See, these people, I have to ask the question, where did I come from? What's this all about? What are we doing this for? And they'd be taught relatively early on their history and what God is doing. And then, of course, Jacob's the replacement, and he is the line of Christ. And he has, through four wives, 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. Normally, the first son would have been the primogeniture, but he wasn't. Reuben was rejected. It went to the fourth son, Judah. And eventually, that would be the royal tribe. That was the royal tribe, and eventually, out of it would come the kings down. And then there's another covenant. The Davidic covenant. God made a covenant with David, the believer, called the Davidic covenant. And basically that promise is that a descendant of yours will sit on your throne and rule forever. I wonder who that is. Jesus Christ, son of David. All right. In that point 30, turn to Genesis 15, if you're not already there. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, this is the mode in which it was given. This was some visual. It was a visual, not just an audio-visual event. Now, Genesis 15 finds Abraham out of fellowship. He's under fear. What's the fear for? Because he's just defeated the kings of the east in a special way with his men, a little army of 319 men. The kings of the east came into the Middle East and they sacked Sodom and Gomorrah, because the people of Sodom and Gomorrah quit paying their tribute, so they came in there and they hauled them all off. And Lot was in that group, and so Abraham's going to rescue Lot. And they often say that we don't do good towards those who are negative or left doctrine. This is not true. This is not true. This is slander. I've never treated any of them bad that I know of. I don't have fellowship with them anymore. Because they went out of here with their fist raised in the air, taking issue with the doctrines. And abandoned sound doctrine and face-to-face teaching. So I'm not going to say, well, that's just fine. I'll hope the best for you. Well, I might hope the best for you, but that isn't going to do any good if you don't get our sound teaching. So, no, I've helped a number of people. You know? Well, they were in church when I helped them. It's not that I wouldn't help them if I had an opportunity to help somebody who had left years ago. If someone's called me up and asked for a phone number, somebody I hadn't heard for years, I didn't say to hell with you and slam the phone down. I didn't do that. I said, the phone number is this. So any of that kind of talk is slander. The fact that I didn't run everybody down that left here and called them up on the phone, I don't have a mandate to do that. You want me to call your wife? Please. This is the kind of crazy stuff. I don't do that. I'll use you to talk to these people. You come across them, have opportunity, as God leads. He may just shut it all down and you're not to say one word. But if you get opportunity, say something. Get back in class. Snatch them out of the fire. They throw up all their excuses. You can do that. Don't encourage them to leave. Help them leave. Gee. All right, back to this. Abraham's out of fellowship. After these things, the word of the Lord came to him in a vision. The do not fear doesn't mean don't go into fear. It is more along the lines of stop being afraid, Abram. I am a shield to you. It's a military term. Your reward shall be very great. He was worrying that these kings of the east would figure out how he routed them at night by making a bunch of noise, and they were encamped at night, and his men come down there and make a whole... There's another story about that in the Bible too, with Gideon. Outnumbered, totally outnumbered. And they make a racket in night, and once you're psychologically defeated, you might as well forget it. You've had it. And the kings of the east just left everything and went back home. And left all these POWs and all the wealth and the booty that they took out of those cities. Because Abraham was there. He wasn't after the wealth. He was out there to rescue his negative nephew, Lot. And he delivered Lot. And the king of Sodom offered him all this wealth. Abraham said, I don't want anybody to say you made me rich. Somehow it doesn't look real good. Because you're queer. Well, he didn't say that, but that's the idea. Who prospered you? Okay. So he said, no. He said, but give me 10% of everything so I can pay these men. They deserve something from this. That must have been quite a big hit for each of 318 or 19 or whatever men that he had. By the way, he picked up his organization. Get this: when he left Haran, he went over to Damascus. You know, Damascus, Syria, and they hell bombed out of it. You know, that's where he got his whole organization. So he had to have some cash. He had to have some wealth to pull that off. That's where he picked up his little army of men, cowherders and stuff. And that's where he got Eliezer. He went and bought him just like you'd buy a truck. And put him in his organization. Now you really have to be blessed to get the right people under those conditions. But that's the way Abraham was. He was blessed. It fell in his lap. Now, he comes back, he's sitting. See, all this is going on in his head. He doesn't have an heir yet. And nobody's getting any younger. And that's being frustrated. They tried it the normal way. The normal way wasn't working. Instead of saying, well, what's God doing here? And get all upset. God's going to take care of it. I don't know how he's going to take care of it. And when? I just know he doesn't lie about stuff. So he's worrying that they're going to figure out what happened to him and send an army back after him. Oh, come on. I am your shield. The angelic conflict, God is our shield. Look at all the evil out there and the ways you could be hurt by what's coming down and what's on top of us. I'm your shield. And I'm your reward, and your reward's going to be very great, Abraham. He's already had evidence of that. He went to Egypt under fear because of a famine in the land. Under pressure, he broke, went to Egypt. Lied about who his wife was because the Pharaoh had eyes for her because she was so gorgeous. And long story short, the Pharaoh says, leave. And Abraham left and he gave him a whole bunch of wealth. Don't come back. And he walked out of Egypt wealthier than he ever was. And he sinned in his whole thing down there, right? He sinned. He went, got out of the geographical will. He didn't get a vision to say, hide out in Egypt until the drought blows over. He didn't get that, and he went down there, and under pressure again, he had a fear grid. It didn't always surface, obviously. On this occasion with the kings of the east, there was no fear involved here. So he comes back to the land, the geographical will. Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? God didn't say, hey, that's your heir. He just said, we'll make him the heir. I figured it out. It's Eliezer. And Abraham said, since you have given no offspring to me, no one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. And then he took him outside. He showed him. Now he looked towards the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. Well, that's not going to happen. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now for the reader of this, it might say that's a little ridiculous. Considering how many stars there are, but you forgot about something maybe. We're not through human history yet. We got the millennium to go. And then if I'm right about my doctrine of the eternal state, there's more human beings are going to come on the scene. So, leave it at that. Then he believed in the Lord. Then he had believed in the Lord, and he reckoned to him as righteousness. Now Abraham, even though he's under fear and he has this, what I call, brainstorm, energy of the flesh. I'm going to help God out. I got a great idea. Eliezer's a really good guy. You know he is. No, he will not be your heir. Your heir will come from your own body. And he doesn't tell him everything yet, you know. And I'm not going to go through the rest of this chapter, but that's 4 through 6 is a reiteration of it. Just 4 through 6 in this chapter. Then 18 through 21. We get... See, there's different paragraphs within this covenant. Promises within the promise, overall promise, if you will. And one of them is real estate. As we well know, God promised that land that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived on as guests, occupied and run by the Canaanite nations. They lived in that land as resident aliens. They didn't own any of it to speak of. But that land was promised to their descendants. And to them, well, how could they enjoy something if they die? It's called resurrection. That's how you save the deal there. It's always, you know, you plug in the one resurrection. A father of many nations implies, and all that, some people are going to have to be raised from the dead so Abraham can see all of his spiritual and otherwise racial descendants. They got to be resurrected at the end. So in that instance, it came about when the sun had set and that it was dark, very dark, and behold, a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. I won't get into that. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, this is another installment. It's not a new covenant and a different covenant. To your descendants, I've given this land. From the river of Egypt, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenite, the Kenizzite, and the Cadmonite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, those are giants, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusite. Those are all the people that were occupying the land in Abraham's day. They're going to be dispossessed in time and kicked out of the land. So we see this scenario playing out today with an attitude of the Palestinians thinking that's their land. It's not their land. Maybe by the UN standards, maybe by whatever public opinion. You can have public opinion. It ain't going to do any good. That land is still promised to the descendants of Abraham. I don't care what they're doing or how evil they might be at any particular time in their history. Big deal. Unbelievers will be dealt with always. So the war that's ongoing in Israel, this is a part of this ongoing war. That land is theirs. I don't know. I don't care how they got there, what they did, stunts they pulled, shenanigans, all of it. It doesn't matter. It's a land promised to Abraham and his born-again Jewish descendants. And each one going to have a little plot in it. And it's a lot bigger than that, the little state of Israel today, which is about the size of the state of New Jersey. That's not very big. But it's the bone of contention. And sitting right in the center of it is Jerusalem. No. If I'm right, the descendants of Esau do not inherit any of that. As far as I can tell. No covenant was made with Esau. At least God made a covenant, not with him personally, but made a promise to Ishmael that he'd be the father of all these Arabic peoples that are out there. At least Ishmael was a believer. Ishmael and Isaac came back and reunited and buried Abraham. Even after Ishmael left under, you would say, bad conditions. Him and her, Hagar, kicked out, dumped out on the world to survive on their own. And that's the story of Ishmael. Ishmael's in heaven today. Turning to chapter 17. Now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. We always gotta throw in the doctrine of divine essence, don't we? Tell you who I am. Walk before me and be blameless. That means stay in fellowship and continue with the plan. Oh, you're 99. I will establish my covenant between... This is another installment of the same covenant, just articulated in a different way, between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Imagine telling a man who cannot have a child due to impotence that he's going to multiply you exceedingly, and he knows what this means, physical descendants. And so there's a pressure on his soul, right? He's into this covenant thing. He hasn't thrown up his hands. I give up. This is ridiculous. He fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you'll be the father of a multitude of nations. So it almost sounds like he's mocking him, doesn't it? He doesn't even have a child. He's not. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. Not directly from Abraham, but through his descendant, his line of people. And I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I'll be their God. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. We're going to have a sign for this thing. And then it goes down through that. And I just wanted to read to you. Now I have occasion to read it again. You'll skip over to verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but you will call her name Sarah, which means princess. Princess. I will bless her. I haven't forgot about her. And indeed, I will give you a son by her. Boom! Imagine Abraham in his mind when you're actually told this. I'll bless her. She'll be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He isn't mocking God here. It just seems funny to him. Doesn't it? That a couple, old couple, will have a child and be put in a condition where they can, the possibility of it? That's what laughing here isn't. And said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, we're going to get to another point here in this chapter where he is unwavering in his faith with regard to the fulfillment of this miracle. He's not there yet. He's not there yet. He's still shaky. Abraham said to him, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now, he's at least promoting a believer. And he's promoting a male that he fathered, but not by Sarah. And God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a child. And you'll call his name Laughter. You gotta like this. God has a sense of humor, does he not? You're going to call the boy Laughter. You're chuckling in your soul. Later on, she'll be chuckling in her soul. She's a lady. She's not going to guffaw. You're going to call him Laughter. So the last laughs on everyone else, so to speak, in the plan of God that isn't lined up with it. And I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I'll bless him. And I'll make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. We're going to start a big race of people off of him. He shall become the father of 12 princes. And I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah, your wife, will bear to you at this season next year. So there'd be a 3-month lag, and then she gets pregnant, and 9 months later, we have Isaac's on the scene. Baby Isaac. Baby Laughter. Now this is when a name means something. When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Event over. Now you can process all this and deal with it. You've got new information to deal with here. You had God reject the Ishmael and the Eliezer path. Let's do it first class. God's plan is first class. It isn't second class. It's first class. Because God's in charge of it, and He's running it, and in whatever strings He has to pull, and whatever the Almighty has to do to bring it to pass, He'll do it. Even in the face of, in conclusion here, even in the face of a situation that is humanly, totally hopeless. There's no reason. There's no way to fix an old couple like this unless God does a miracle and makes that part of their humanity like they were young people. That only happened twice in human history that I know of. And it happened to the parents of John the Baptist. That was the second time that's happened. I'll see you Tuesday. You better be here. These times are momentous. The stuff's popping. This is not, and if you're out there listening to me and you were and you're not here in class, but you're just going to listen to this, quit being a dummy. Get up and get here and bury your pride or whatever it is that you're wrapped up in. We're almost out of here. And anyone sitting out here listening to me teach, you can still get your crown. I don't care if you've been lukewarm or you've been whatever it is. All right. See you Tuesday. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.